morning, and we hope we will be both blessed and challenged. Let me pray for you and the team.
Thank you.
Lord, this morning we just bring Greg and the Teen Challenge team into your presence and just ask that their ministry to us this morning will be powerful, meaningful, and will just be a challenge to us to drive us to pray and to support. We thank you for their ministry, and I just pray that you be with Greg. I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much, Larry, for the that fine introduction there. It is indeed our pleasure to be with the congregation in Coaldale this morning. I had no idea Brother Corny there was such a stand-up comic there. I could hardly make it through there that time there. So thanks for that encouragement to us all. We want to thank you for allowing us to come and share this morning. I'd like to take a little bit of time to introduce ourselves to you. Larry introduced myself, so that's great. Over here we have Jesse with us here. If you just want to stand up and just give a bit of a wave there. And next to him we have Travis. And then we got Chris over here. And then last but certainly not least, folks, we have Cole here with us this morning too. So all right. Well, the topic we're going to discuss this morning is something that doesn't get talked a lot about in public, and it's sometimes a little bit tough. But we feel that the message of hope we will be bringing to you this morning is extremely important to share, and really could be a matter of life and death for maybe someone here, but maybe even someone that someone here knows. And so could I see a show of hands of those of you that are familiar with the ministry that Teen Challenge does? Well, excellent. Let's eat. We don't need to do the presentation. No, I'm just kidding you. I see that a lot of you put up your hands, but some of you didn't. And so that's great. We're obviously in the right place yet again. And so I would like to just explain to you a little bit about what the Ministry of Teen Challenge does. Our mission statement reads like this. It says, Teen Challenge provides faith-based residential drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers funded entirely by donations, providing spiritual, academic, and vocational training, equipping individuals to return to society as responsible citizens. So that's quite a bit of a mouthful there for you this morning. Basically, we help guys that have come under the influence of substance addictions, help them understand that Christ is more powerful than drugs, and helps us to overcome and live our lives in honor to Him and without the devastation that addictions are to us. I'll give you a brief history. Back in 1958, a man by the name of David Wilkerson was drawn to work with youth involved in gang activity on the streets of New York City. And through the power of Jesus Christ, many youth gave their lives to the Lord and were saved from lives of misery and drug abuse. Over the last 54 years, the Ministry of Teen Challenge has evolved into 12-month residential drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. Did you know that there are currently close to 1,000 centers in operation in over 80 countries around the world? Canada has 12 locations, two of which are women's centers, and we have one just to the southwest of the city of Calgary, close to the town site of Pritis, Alberta. Although Teen Challenge serves adults 18 years old and up, we have retained the name Teen Challenge to maintain our association with David Wilkerson, the author of the book The Cross and the Switchblade, which chronicles the early beginnings of the Teen Challenge ministry. And you can receive a copy of the cross and the switchblade. If it's been a few years since you've read that, there's a little bit of an updated version that might be of interest to you. And all you got to do is come to our table at the back and sign up for that. And we'd be happy to give you a complimentary copy of that. We're also going to leave a couple of copies with Becky to put in the church library if you're missing one there. So let's see. Please feel free to come and see us at our booth in the foyer after the service there. And if you require any information or would like to become part of our prayer team, lifting up our center in your times of prayer, we'd sure appreciate that. I'm going to talk a little bit at the end as well. But right now, I'd like to call Brother Travis up here to share.
Thanks, Greg. First of all, I just want to thank you for having us here today. It's a pleasure speaking to you guys and telling you my testimony. As you know, my name's Travis, and I'm going to give you an idea of what my life was like growing up and what impacts drugs and alcohol had on my life. But most importantly, I want to tell you how I got out of this destructive lifestyle by the saving grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. To understand my full submission to God and why I believe who I am in Christ, I have to explain the events that led up to this point. I'm 25 years old, and I was born and somewhat raised in Calgary, Alberta. I moved around a lot as a child. I grew up not knowing my birth father, and I was scared of my dad. I had a real close bond with my mother and considered her to be the only thing I felt close to, other than my dear grandma. I grew up in a home not knowing what was going to happen next. My parents fought a lot, and my mom would usually end up on this losing side of this ongoing battle. My mom and I tried to get away from this abusive lifestyle and would move away time after time. But with their love for each other, they would reunite and split up quite often. I was bullied lots as a child, and I was often called names at school, which made me feel insecure about myself. I had a hard time at home, and I struggled at school. Some days I just felt like I couldn't get a break. After an incident that brought child services to my house, my dad found me upstairs in my bedroom choking with a bicycle lock around my neck. He was able to get the lock unlocked, and just a few years later, I noticed what alcohol and marijuana were. My friend's parents were using it, and my parents were using it, and it intrigued me. One night I heard the phone ring, and it was the weirdest thing. While my mom was on her way to tell me what had happened, I had this feeling inside me that my grandma passed away, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. My mom ended up going to the funeral in another province, and I couldn't go. I was pretty tore up about this. She came back a different person when she came back from that funeral. My parents ended up splitting up, and this was the beginning of a downward spiral that I can now thank the Lord for, because I wouldn't be in front of you telling you my story today. My grandmother left the family an inheritance that was split up between the family. My mother ended up doing her own thing, and she ended up becoming a bank machine for me, where I could get money whenever I wanted it, which I spent mostly on drugs, alcohol, food. And it was hard sometimes not knowing where my mom was and worrying when I was going to see her next. I couched up from friends to friends most often, and I didn't mind for the most part because I was able to do what I wanted and when I wanted to. But inside, I felt a longing just to be in her arms. And at this point in my life, I was already using mushrooms, weed, alcohol, ecstasy, and cocaine. It went on like this for several years before I eventually started selling drugs to support my habit and to gain respect from a crew that had my back. I didn't have to worry about anything anymore. I was getting used to this lifestyle, and it brought me to a really low point in my life when one morning a young man and his family found me at his house beating him up while we held his father back because this guy stole drugs from me. Later on the next year, I was arrested for this crime I committed, and I was sentenced for what I did. But thanks to the Lord, I was let off on a conditional sentence, and this was a turning point in my life. Even though I was still doing the bad things that brought me to this point, something inside me changed. I didn't want to live this way anymore. I couldn't take it, but the power of my addiction was too strong. I couldn't stop, and after a couple years went by, I couldn't take it anymore. I had enough. I couldn't keep a job. I was losing respect from all angles, and I was hanging with a crowd that would end up putting me in jail or in the ground. My parents were now leading a healthy relationship and were willing to help me get my life back together. They helped me get into a secular rehab facility called the Calgary Dream Center, which enabled me to start doing really good. I was going to church. I was 6 months clean and sober. But they didn't really teach me too much about the Lord. The Bible was only an option. I learned the physical and mental theories of addictive behavior. They suggested AA and NA meetings and had me develop a strong relapse prevention plan. I gained a couple close friends that were strong in their faith, and they shared it with me, and I went to church with them. But I still wanted to listen to my flesh. I thought I could do it all on my own. Summer hit. The urge of camping, making money, and dirt biking took over all my thoughts. I ended up quitting school. I quit my part-time job, and I left the Calgary Dream Center to go back to that lifestyle. This time, it was even worse, though. Almost a year went by, and I felt like I had everyone fooled. I went to rehab, got out. Everyone thought I was doing just fine, so I thought anyway. Until finally, I hit my bottom. I couldn't take this lifestyle anymore. And I knew what I needed this time. I needed to get away from the city, and I needed to get a better understanding of the Lord. One morning, after a night of partying and not going to bed, this thought came to mind. A seed was planted while I stayed at the Dream Center. My roommate told me about Teen Challenge and how it worked for him, and how you can find the Lord through the program. And I knew that's exactly what I needed this time. I needed to get away from the city, and I needed to find Christ. I needed to find who I was in God, and Teen Challenge would enable me to do that. So I started doing the steps to get into this safe haven. And God gave me the strength to stay clean off of cocaine for a week and a half until I had my intake at Teen Challenge. Now when I look back and I think about the journey throughout my life, I see God carrying me when I needed him the most. And I was too arrogant and selfish to understand what my actions were doing to those around me. I focused on what I wanted, and I pushed God out of my life, and I tried to take the role of God. God has brought me out of some bad places in my life, and now I try to give my glory to God. Being in the Teen Challenge program has enabled me to have God as the center of my life, and I now have my priorities in order. I'm letting go of the steering wheel, and I'm finally letting Jesus take the wheel. I now understand by the grace of God and through His Holy Spirit that I can have Jesus Christ as my relapse prevention plan and rely on Him to get me through my hard times. I am now able to learn lots, and I'm openly accepting His word at Teen Challenge and trying to incorporate it into my life. I am now 8 months clean and sober, and I see the impact God has on my life and what He's doing around me. Teen Challenge has shown me a horizon that I've been longing for so long now. My chains are broken, and Christ has finally set me free. I now have Jesus Christ as my relapse prevention plan, and if I rely on Him to take my pains and struggles, I can get through anything. I understand I'm a new man, and now for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Thanks for listening.
Morning, church. I always got to start with a prayer because I get kind of nervous coming in front of people and talking about my story. So, dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for second chances. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity to speak in front of the church here. And just if any struggling addicts are out there, just they can hear the message of saving grace. Amen. Well, my name is Chris, and I'm from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I'm 30 years old, and I grew up a fairly normal childhood. I played hockey growing up until I was 16. High school was pretty fun for me. I had a lot of friends, and, you know, we partied, but it was kind of like, you know, maybe it was just a phase. You'll grow out of it. And I graduated in 2002. When I graduated, my dad got me a job as a pipe fitter in Saskatoon, and I started doing that for a year. But I started drinking and doing drugs a lot more than I was doing in high school, and I realized I couldn't show up for work on time, and that's a pretty important thing for when you're working, is they want you there on time. So I kept getting fired from all these jobs that I was getting. So what I did was, instead of taking the role of staying with a pipe fitter, I came to Alberta, actually, to chase a dream of working on a drilling rig and coming home with a brand new truck and a bunch of money. And I toured around Alberta from drilling rig, from town to town, making the money that was there, but not, I didn't have nothing to show for when I came back to Saskatoon, because I spent it all. And I kind of came back to Saskatchewan with my tail between my legs, because I couldn't make it out here. And this was about the time I started using crystal meth. I was 23 years old, and I was tired of working for a living and putting all my hard-earned money into my drug addiction. So I quit working, and I started hanging out with people that knew how to make money without having to work for it. And this was a bad time. So I had a friend who I grew up with, played hockey with. His mom had called me. I'd moved to Edmonton because I didn't want her to see me self-destruct this way. So I moved to Edmonton, and I got a call from her, and she told me that he had had a drug overdose, and he'd passed away. And you know, I was pretty deep in my meth addiction at this time, and I just, you know, I could feel no pain for him. I had no emotion. Drugs sucks the life right out of you. I couldn't even cry for this guy who I grew up with. And his mom, I asked her if there was anything that I could do for her, and she told me about a program called Teen Challenge that he had went to for 3 months. He didn't make it through the end of the program. He was there for 3 months, but she said that those 3 months were the best she had seen him in years. And she asked me if I would go to the program, and I told her I would look into it, but I wasn't ready to go to a 12-month Christian rehabilitation facility at this time. And Teen Challenge guys actually went and did the eulogy at his funeral. And so I continued on my lifestyle. I didn't change my life because of this death. I just kept going. I actually even think I started using more because of it. And not shortly after that, I was visiting my mom and dad in Saskatoon, and it was actually Christmas morning. And the Saskatoon police were looking for me, and they came into the house on Christmas morning, and they took me away from my family on that day. And I was arrested, and I was sent to jail for 2 years for crimes that I committed all over Alberta and in Saskatoon. So, you know, I'm a pretty strong guy. I'm thinking, you know what, I'm just going to brush this off, and we'll take this time in jail to maybe get sober and reevaluate my game plan in life, because, you know, I'm definitely not going down the right path. And, you know, I still had support from my family, so I kept making phone calls to them. They said, Chris, when you get out, we'll get you a job. We'll get you back on your feet again. I was like, yeah, that sounds great to me. But when I got out of jail, sobriety is not the key to addiction. And the 2 years I spent in jail, I got out and I was right back with those same friends that I was with before I went into jail. And not even 2 months after being released, I was back in prison again, looking at a longer sentence than the first one. And I was devastated. So there's a little lady that she's in the Saskatoon Correctional Center. She's 5 feet tall. She's about 75 years old. And she's on fire for Jesus Christ. And, you know, and it, the correctional center is a kind of a dark place, but this lady was on fire. Like, I'm telling you, there was a glow around her. And she came and prayed with me. And I didn't know what prayer meant. I had no idea really who Jesus was, but she asked me if I would accept Jesus. And I said the words, but it wasn't even the words that I said. It was just her, the presence of her being there brought a whole new, I just felt something really great about the feeling that I had that she gave me at that moment. So I knew there was something behind this, and for some reason, you know, she started talking with me. She said, you ever heard of Teen Challenge? So this is the second time Teen Challenge has come up in the last little few years. And I told her, yeah, I had, and she did the work, the back work to get me in the program. So we actually were trying to get to go to the program instead of doing the jail time, but I ended up getting the jail time, but I ended up going to Teen Challenge the day I was released from prison, because I knew I wanted to change, and I knew there was no other way. So I went into Teen Challenge Saskatchewan, and man, it's hard to be a Christian. Like, I didn't realize how hard it would be to, I was living in such sin, I was living so destructive, that it was just like, it was a totally new life for me. I knew I wanted it, I knew that's what I needed, but it was really hard. The program was really hard, and I ended up leaving. I didn't finish the program. But I knew that I met a lot of great people, there was a lot of great support, and I ended up in Calgary after I left, and there was a lot of guilt from me leaving the program, and because I knew that's what I wanted, and I knew that's what my family needed, I knew that was going to be where the change was going to happen. But when I came to Calgary, I was hiding from the people in Saskatchewan because I didn't want anybody to try to come get me back into the program. But I ended up in Calgary, ended up in the jail again in Calgary. And I don't know, like, when things keep happening to you that are bad, you just start to get pretty broken. And I knew that Teen Challenge was going to be my answer again to getting back on track in life. So I started making phone calls in the jail. I got on my hands and knees and prayed to God and said, give me one more chance, God. You know, help me one more time. I know I don't deserve it, but give me one more chance. And 5 days later, I was in Teen Challenge Alberta. So I've been in the program for 6 months now, almost 6 months. You know, and it's changed this time from the time I was in Saskatchewan. I'm holding on to all the words that I read in the Bible. And the Bible is just speaking in volumes to me because it is life or death. I'm going to die in my addiction if I don't, you know, start changing my life. And I didn't know the way to change my life without Jesus in my life, without God, or without, there's no way I could have done this. It's nothing short of a miracle that the work that's happening at Teen Challenge right now for me, myself. And I was baptized just a few weeks ago at White Swan Lake in British Columbia, and it was beautiful. It was an awesome experience, and it's just, I'm fully committed this time. I have to be, I'm on guard. I'm sure it's still not easy, but I know things are changing again, and this is where I'm going to pursue the rest of my life, is to be a devout Christian, and I don't want to go back to that destructive lifestyle. So I'll leave you with a little scripture that just popped into my mind the other day, and it's in Romans. And it just says, we are all made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Thank you.
What is reality? Reality is not feeling loved as a child and trying to choke yourself to death by locking a bicycle chain around your neck. Reality is using cocaine at the age of 14 with your parents after losing your grandmother. Reality is walking the streets of downtown Calgary looking for drugs to come across guys in a car who want to use you for drugs. Reality is invading someone's house with five of your friends to beat someone up who had stolen drugs from you while holding his parents back. Reality is witnessing firsthand what crack does to your mother and could care less what it's doing to you and others around. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is getting fired from every job you've ever had because you're too busy getting high the night before than to show up to work on time. Reality is getting arrested in front of your whole family on Christmas morning. Reality is watching your best friend OD right in front of you, and all you do is sit and watch and hope that he makes it through it. Reality is having your mom cry herself to sleep at night thinking your son's going to die from a drug overdose or be killed because of a result of his addiction. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is growing up in a Christian family with no one to cure the loneliness and lack of acceptance from brothers and Christian friends. Reality is living life as a failure offspring who never been taught great skills except taking hits off the bond and getting it accepted by many people on the opposite side. Reality is a psychological breakdown by losing the people you love through death and betrayals that conjured up anger and depression for 2 years of living. It swallowed you in an endless void till you're nothing but an empty human shell. Reality is getting so high on substances you can't even remember your own name or the things you have done in your past, not even the treasured memories you held dear. And reality? Reality is an infection of hatred against your own kind and try to pursue specific murders for each and every one of the people that you call friend. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. And after Many years of drug and alcohol abuse, my mother is able to find the grace and love of God to see the love she has for me and quit her destructive lifestyle, and she's been clean ever since. The truth is, after 10 long years of drug and alcohol abuse, I finally give into the arms of Christ and I apply at Teen Challenge Alberta. The truth is, by the grace of God, I'm now able to humbly ask for forgiveness for my wrongdoings, and I'm able to forgive anybody that has done wrong to me. And the truth is that by the grace of God, I now believe that my past doesn't determine who I am today. And the truth is, thanks to Teen Challenge, I'm finally letting God transform me into the godly man He created me to be.
The truth is I got on my hands and knees in my jail cell and prayed to God to help me. 5 days later, I was in Teen Challenge Alberta. The truth is that my family now knows I'm in a safe place and I'm free from drugs and alcohol. The truth is I'm learning how to be a productive member to society instead of being a burden on the justice system. And the truth is my mom's faith is now growing because her prayers are being answered that she's been praying for so many years.
The truth is, I know there was someone who was always looking out for me through the troubled times, and who I thought was nothing but a myth became the truth. The truth is, I discovered joy through Teen Challenge and gained friendships that go through different hardships as well. The truth is, I'm more prepared when I continue along the journeys of the future to greater goals. The truth is, I have a change of heart to really start over fresh and be the person who God wants me to be. The truth is, I found forgiveness for myself and to others, and to let my family know I am sorry of what I've done and what I've become.
And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Well, this is Cole's first time with us on an we call this an outreach, and what we've done is we've just prepared some question and answers beforehand so that he would have some time to prepare the answers and so forth. And so Cole, do you know anyone here in the congregation this morning?
Yeah, actually, I got some family right over there, so it's
why don't you guys stand up there for us? Fantastic. Cole, how long have you been with us at Teen Challenge?
It's coming up 3.5 to 4 months now.
Okay, all right. Why did you come to Teen Challenge?
I came to Teen Challenge to live the life that God intended me to live.
All right. What motivated you the most to make the decision to enter the program?
Well, I lost my best friend through a divorce along with my heart. And trying to isolate my emotions with alcohol, I never thought I would be able to experience love again. Until I got involved with the community at E-Free Church, God has provided me love again back into my life through my congregation. people that have been so supportive and loving towards me, I don't know where I'd be without God and my new family that I have been longing for my entire life.
Awesome. How has your life been affected so far?
I'm seeing clearer now, being in Teen Challenge, that there's more to life than living by the flesh. And, it just, the support from my brothers and everybody else is just making me a new creation through Christ.
Fantastic. Do you have a special verse you'd like to share with the congregation this morning?
I do, Greg. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." Jeremiah 29:11.
Right on. Well, thanks a lot, Cole. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Well, I hope that has encouraged you this morning in some way to let you know that What we're doing at Teen Challenge is basically pointing men in the direction of Christ. And, you know, they say that the gateway drug or a drug that is, less harmful, that leads you to other more stronger drugs is marijuana. A lot of people will fool around with that and smoke it almost like a normal cigarette. You know, there's a huge push in society to legalize marijuana, for everyone. So it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. It's just something that we can do, and it doesn't hurt you as much as some of the hard drugs. Oh no, I would never do the hard drugs. But it leads you to want something more stronger. Your body really does build a resistance to drugs, and so you require a higher dose of something, and so marijuana can lead to something else. Something else can lead to something else even stronger, and it can be a very difficult thing. And the only thing that can get you to stop a drug is to use something more stronger. And at Teen Challenge, our stronger one is Jesus Christ. And that's in essence the program, is to provide someone who is way stronger. Our catchphrase is, there's no high like the Most High. Amen. So we're here for a few different reasons this morning. One of them is to create awareness. That Teen Challenge is a ministry that's available to those who are involved in life-controlling substance addictions. Did you know that most of the men that come to the program hear about Teen Challenge as a result of an outreach just like this? The second reason is to let you know that Satan really can't stand the work that we're doing there. In a lot of ways, I think of addictions as Satan's final frontier. If you get a guy hooked in that cycle of using drugs and going for a higher concentration of drug, a more powerful drug, and he can lead them to death through that substance, then he wins, you know. So when he sees an effective ministry like Teen Challenge that helps rehabilitate guys, he doesn't hold back anything as far as attacks are concerned. We would love it if you would partner with us in prayer for everything that goes on at the center, from the day-to-day operation to the discipling of men, to men experiencing victory, that it would be a victory that can last, because God is everlasting, and his followers also are everlasting when we put our faith and trust in him. And so that's the second reason why we're here. Please pray for our staff and our students. We depend on prayer. If you would like to receive a regular email update of current prayer requests, please stop by our table at the end. There's a little sign-up sheet there. We can sign up and take your email, and we'll email you just prayer requests so that you can be mindful of us in your times of prayer. Number three is to let you know about other ways you can help Teen Challenge. Every once in a while, we have a special project going on. We're working on one right now. We'd love to do a special seminar coming up in September, and if you'd like to contribute towards that, it's something that's not in our regular, scheduled budget, but we'd sure still like to have it. We have an incredible opportunity to have a couple of instructors who were basically pioneers in the Teen Challenge ministry that would like to come and do a seminar, and we would just love to have them. So that would be something that you could partner with us in. One time financial gift is a great way to support the ministry. In your bulletins this morning, you'll see a little Teen Challenge brochure. It's a sponsorship brochure. I'll talk about that in just a second. There's also an envelope there, and if you'd just like to give us a one-time gift, you could slip it right into that envelope with your name and address on it so that you can get a tax-deductible receipt for that. You could participate in one of our regional golf tournaments. We have one at Paradise Canyon every summer. We're planning one again for approximately the mid part of June next year. Hopefully the Old Man River stays within its banks this year or next year. This year it didn't quite. They lost eight holes a couple of days before our tournament, but we are fortunate enough to be able to play at Henderson. But we'd love to have you out for the golf tournament if that's something that you're interested in doing. And there is another unique way to get involved at Teen Challenge, and it is called the Teen Challenge sponsorship. That brochure that's with you in your bulletin there explains a little bit about it. You can choose a student, and I have their sponsorship cards right here. I've got with me today, I got a sponsorship card for Travis, one for Jesse, and one for Chris. And if you would like to sponsor a student, it means committing just a little bit more than a dollar a day for a one-year time frame to go towards the support of programs. Whoops, sorry. Sorry, Chris, I dropped it here. Nothing personal. If you would like to sponsor one of these guys, you can come back to the table. You could fill out the card. There's a little tear-off portion at the back. You can slip that on the right into the envelope before the offering if you're sure you'd like to do that. If you'd like some time to think about it, you can take it home and mail it in at a later point in time. Like I say, it costs a little more than a dollar a day, so it's $420 a year. So I'm thinking, you know, you got lots of Tim Hortons around here. If you take a Tim Hortons a day, you could forego that and sponsor a student for a whole year. And man, if you have five cups of coffee a day, just think, you could sponsor five guys in the Teen Challenge program. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, if you have 15 cups of coffee a day at Tim Hortons, we have a bed for you at Teen Challenge. If you sponsor a student at Teen Challenge, you get a little card that looks a lot like this. You actually get quarterly updates from them. They'll actually send you handwritten notes throughout their time in the program. Gives you an opportunity to mail them something, a care package, or give them a card or a birthday card or something like that to encourage them along the way. Many students over the years have said, you know, it was a critical time in the program when I received a letter from someone who sponsored me, whom I don't even know, that encouraged me to continue on, to press on. And it becomes a valuable part of the program. Our success in the program has gone up since we've started the student sponsorship program, because the guys, someone is being mindful of each guy in the program and praying for them in an earnest way. And so we really appreciate that. The sponsorship program also gives us the opportunity to budget, because in a parachurch type ministry, there's no tithing, there's no kind of regular income we can count on, and so it's sort of really changed our perspective about that. So once again, we just really appreciate the time you've given us in your service this morning. God bless the congregation in Coaldale here. We just have enjoyed our partnership with you over the years, and are so blessed to still be involved. So God bless you, and once again, thank you.